Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
You know, when I was in the business world, there was one of the common statements that we always made when we would begin to train people, and that is that a great start ensures a great finish. And there's a lot of truth to that in business and life. It's just one of those universal laws. Well, I want to tell you something. That's also true in our walk with God. How we start this journey can determine so much about how the walk goes, how our victory is, what happens in our life, how well things work. And unfortunately, many people don't start this journey with the truth they need or even making the decisions that they need. Therefore, they struggle. They have a hard time. But today, I'm going to answer some questions for you that no matter where you are in this journey, you can make the right decisions. You can get yourself up to date, and you can be living in a power and a strength that's beyond your capacity. Listen, you can get this message and this series in its entirety at www.impactministries.com. Be sure and check it out. You know, the terms kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are used all throughout the New Testament in Jesus' teaching. The kingdom of God is this realm that we enter into because we have surrendered to the lordship of Jesus, but the kingdom of heaven represents the provision that is in that realm. I tell you, in this new series, The Gospel of the Kingdom, I'm going to share with you not only how to enter into that realm and abide in that realm, but how to experience the provisions that God has created for you. The Gospel of the Kingdom. Get it today. Well, welcome to today's broadcast. I'm telling you, I got so much wonderful, wonderful, powerful information I'm going to share with you. But just kind of in recapping, you know, we've been talking about the gospel of the kingdom. And last week we discovered that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are two terminologies, both of which one represents a realm that we enter into. The other represents the resources that are available to us in that realm. And as believers, this is not automatic. This is very important that you understand that. In the parables of the kingdom, Jesus taught us the laws that govern kingdom living. Now, when we talk about laws, we're not talking about legalism. I want you to understand something, because we're not earning something from God. We're not buying something from God by our behavior. But it's real simple. Everything that exists around laws. It doesn't matter if it's the physical world. It doesn't matter if it's the subatomic world. It doesn't matter if it's the economic world, the social world. Every aspect of life, spiritual, emotional, and physical, revolves around laws. And these laws are there to serve us. We are not to serve them. This is not about us getting into legalism. This is not about us obeying the rules. This is about God the Creator, who established all that is, handing us the playbook and saying, this is how to make things work. This is how things can come together. You know, it's amazing that throughout history, every powerful ruler has tried to discover the secrets of how, secret laws of how all the universe and everything works, because even the wicked understand that if I can grasp the laws whereby things work, I can take control of everything. But we're not trying to take control of everything, but we are seeking to participate in everything that Jesus provided for us. Now, the parables that Jesus taught were the parables of the kingdom. Jesus was not a teacher of the law or of legalism, let me put it that way. And Jesus' teaching was not just for the Jews. It was not just for the people of his day. Jesus told his disciples that they were to go into all of the world and that they were to make disciples by teaching everyone to obey what he had taught. So he is our Lord, and we should be listening to his voice, his teaching, what he modeled to us first and foremost above anyone or everything else or any other word that anybody has spoken or any other book that has been written. So, we also learned last week that the parables are like, the gospel of the kingdom is one all-inclusive resource whereby we organize the priorities of all other new covenant truth. And see, one of the problems that we have is that we have a lot of truth, but it's not, we don't really have it synchronized. We don't have it in priority. We're trying, you know, we take our pet doctrines and we exalt them and we make them the focal point of how we want things to work instead of trusting how Jesus said things truly work and bringing things together under one concept of the kingdom of God. Now, in the parables, like I say, Jesus taught us the laws that govern kingdom living. Now, there are principles in the parables, and many parables have the same principles that are always present. There's a lot of principles that are going to be there every single time. Some parables are going to emphasize a particular principle or a particular value, but there are some principles that are in almost every parable. Now, in the parables of the kingdom, you have to understand that they are nearly always based on a relationship between a servant and a master. And so you start realizing if this is something that is always consistent in these parables, then it's a priority for kingdom living. Well, our entire relationship with God, after all, starts around a confession or a commitment to the Lordship of Jesus based on the belief of what he has done for us through our death, burial, and resurrection. You know, I hear people getting into arguments about confessing sins and not confessing sins, confessing this or not confessing this. So what a lot of people say is, well, confessing sins is for unbelievers, it's not for believers. No, you got it actually just the opposite, because the truth is believers don't become saved. They don't become believers by confessing their sins. They become believers by believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and as such, confessing or acknowledging or making a commitment to him as Lord. We don't confess our sins to get saved. We confess Jesus as Lord. Now, I'll just touch on this. I don't want to get too far off this. Then, of course, there's people that say, well, Christians don't have to confess their sins to get forgiven. No, you don't have to confess your sins to get forgiven, because forgiveness is already given. But one of the things that the Bible teaches in all of its wisdom, and one of the things that we understand about mankind is that you cannot get over anything. You can't get the resources to conquer any problem that you don't admit. As long as you are in denial about it, you cannot get the resources, or in biblical terms, you can't experience the grace to overcome a problem that you have not owned. So when the Bible talks about confession, for a non-believer, it's confessing Jesus as Lord. For a believer, it starts with owning the problem, saying the same thing about the problem that we have. And we'll get into that someday, but now is not the time to get into it any farther than that. Now, the quality of your life with God, the quality of your relationship, the quality of the abundance of your life, so to speak, the ease of this walk that we have with God, it working out the way it should be, is primarily based on our relationship to Jesus as Lord. And when there is an absence of the relationship to him as Lord, you will always find that people are struggling. You will always find that people are not able to get this to work the way it's supposed to. And then they've got to make up theology. They've got to create doctrine to support it. But in the absence of the Lordship of Jesus, listen, Jesus is attempting to lead us by his Holy Spirit into the quality of life that God has. The Bible says, he who has the Son has the life of God. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it to his fullest. But he also said, this is life, to know, to experience God the Father and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. So we have to have this relationship where we know and experience Jesus and we know experience God. Well, our first relationship with Jesus starts out around lordship. Now, if Jesus is my Lord, then I am the student and I am the disciple. Therefore, I am seeking to build my life around his teachings and around his lifestyle, how he modeled that life should be. And I want to tell you something. Lordship is the primary missing element for modern Christianity. And in fact, in modern Christianity, we are seeking to have the resources of the kingdom of heaven, but we are not interested in having a relationship with the king. We don't want the king to rule over us. We don't want the king to be in charge. We want to be in charge. We want to live our lives the way we want to live our lives. We want to be in control of everything. We want to make the rules. We want to choose good and evil for ourselves. And basically, we don't really want to know Jesus as Lord. We want to know Jesus as Savior. We just, after we live like fools, after we violate the word of God, after we commit sin, after our heart hardens, after our heart gets broken, after we have disappointment, 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 then we want to pray and we want a Savior to show up to deliver us from the trouble, the destruction that our foolishness has brought to us. That's the relationship that most people demonstrate that they want to have. That's what their life says that they want to have. Because you see, if Jesus is Lord, we don't wait until we're in trouble to get to know him. Matter of fact, you know, an interesting concept is this. Almost everybody has heard of the concept of foxhole religion. Well, foxhole religion is what happens to soldiers whenever they're in the foxhole and they think they're going to die, and they give their lives to Jesus, or, you know, have some kind of experience with God. Well, one of the things that we understand about how the human mind works, and even to some degree the human heart, and that is that relationships that are born in crises very seldom survive the crises. You know, it's like when two needy people get together and get married. Well, if one of them ever grows beyond being needy, then the relationship can't work, because now they don't have a crisis that they share in common. So most people, when they come to Jesus, they come to Jesus because they want a Savior. Well, really, they don't want a Savior. They just want to be saved from the circumstances that they're finding their life in, from the trouble that they've created, from the pain and the heartache and the sadness that's in their life. So the problem is, then the only relationship you have with Jesus is around him getting you out of trouble. So once you are delivered from trouble, you have no place for him in your life, because you didn't want a Lord. You didn't even want a Savior. You just want it to be saved. You know, the book of Judges and all of the Old Testament is a model that shows us, the nation of Israel showed us even patterns of how things happen in our individual lives. And the book of Judges is an interesting book, because the theme of the book of Judges is every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so what you see in the book of Judges is people are walking with God, backsliding, 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 getting foolish, turning their backs on God. Whoa, destruction and pain. They're being dominated by some enemy nation. Then somewhere along the way, they see the foolishness of the ways. They call on God. They turn to God. They change their ways. Life, God sends them a deliverer. They get better and better and better and better. That deliverer dies off. They get worse and worse and worse. Bam, they're in trouble again. It's a cycle of people over and over and over and over experiencing a deliverer. That's what a judge is. A judge was a deliverer. But see, the problem was, as soon as that deliverer got them out of their crises, they had no place in their life for them. Unfortunately, because we at best want to know Jesus as Savior, we have no basis for a relationship when the crisis is over. But we're going to call him back when we need to get saved from the next problem. I want to tell you something. That is psychotic living. That doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It doesn't even mean you're not saved. It means you're just living a psychotic life that is going to be up and down, on and off, confused, conflicted, tormented, upset. And the Bible says that the foolishness of a man perverts his way, but in his heart he blames God. And that's what's always going to happen, is that person down the road is going to get angry. They're going to harden their heart to God. They're going to say, this isn't working. You're not doing your part. You're not delivering me and saving me from my pain like you said you would. But you see, as our Lord, He wants to lead us in the paths of righteousness. The word righteous means as it should be. He wants to lead us down the path of how life should be, how the will of God should be, how the joy of the Lord should be, how strength and happiness, all these things should abound in our lives. But that comes because we are trusting and following Him as our Lord, as our shepherd. Now, you know, I made this comment at the beginning of the show. You know, back when I was in business, one of the things that I learned very early on in business was a simple saying that says, it says, a great start ensures a great finish. And one of the things that we found was that when we would bring people into our business, that the most important thing we could do up front is train them properly up front. Don't wait until they start making mistakes to come in and teach them what they're supposed to do. Because if they're making mistakes and they're going to get discouraged, they may quit, or they may get depressed, or they may never, ever, ever succeed. But when you teach people what they need to know up front, it's amazing how quickly they get going. As a matter of fact, in several different businesses I was in, we had what we called fast start schools. The fast start schools where we're going to get you in, we're going to get you up to speed, we're going to show you everything you need to know for this stage of your journey. Well, I want to tell you something. A great start with God starts with coming to Jesus as Lord. And see, that gets into the whole concept of dying to self. See, there's a lot of talk out there about identity. And I got to tell you, you know, I've been teaching on the identity of Jesus ever since 1975 or 76. I mean, this has been one of the core messages of my ministry from almost the very beginning. So I know something about identity. But you see, all of these voices that are talking about identity, they're talking about identity independent of any concept of dying to self. If you don't die to yourself, you can't take on a new identity, because otherwise you're going to have a dual personality. You're going to be conflicted. You're not going to be able to function like a normal Christian should be able to function. And all of that death to self starts with surrendering to Jesus as Lord. Now, in the parables of the kingdom, we are presented as servants or sometimes stewards. Now, a steward is he's a servant who manages somebody else's resources. So you see, we come to Jesus and we make Him Lord. We give our lives Him. Our life no longer belongs to us, but we are managing it for Him and for His kingdom purposes. You know, Paul, Peter, Jude, they all refer to themselves as bond servants of the Lord. Now, the Greek word for servant comes from a word that stresses dependence on the Lord. So we are servants who are totally dependent on our Lord. We're dependent on Him for the resources of heaven. We're dependent on Him for the grace, the power, the ability, the strength to live this life. We're dependent on Him for our identity. We're dependent on Him for the relationship that makes us feel safe. All the things that we need to live and function in the kingdom of God and participate in the provision of the kingdom of heaven, we depend upon Him for those benefits. And it's really a paradox between being servants and sons. You see, freedom is something that the Bible tells us. Galatians 5 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty," or the freedom, "by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Well, the two things that you can get entangled in after you have freedom is you can get entangled in legalism, or you can get entangled in sin. Either one is a yoke of bondage that will absolutely destroy you. Now, most of the teaching today about freedom is I'm just free to do what I want. The truth is, the concept of freedom in the New Testament is the freedom where a slave is set free from prison to become a citizen. Then as a citizen, they now have the choice to obey the laws of the land and benefit by living in the kingdom, or they can go back to living foolishly and destructively, and they will always end up in slavery again. They will always end up back in bondage and in prison once again. So we have the freedom to choose responsibility. Now, when you think about being a son versus being a slave, stop and think about it. Sons carry much more responsibility than slaves, but they carry that responsibility because of this freedom. As a son, they have the opportunity to be an heir to their father's estate, and therefore they have a vested interest. As a son, they look at things as an owner, not as just somebody who's going to do what they got to do to get by. As a son, yes, they have freedom. Yes, they have benefits. But as a son, they also have responsibility. Galatians 4:6 says, because you are sons, God has set forth his spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, remember, Jesus is our model. He was the Son of God, but he was also a servant. But he chose to be a servant because he knew that was his Father's will. He knew that's what his Father wanted him to do. So following, he tells us, he says, a slave is not above his master. He says, if the Son has been a servant, you've got to be a servant. And if you don't want to be a servant, then basically you're saying, I don't want to be like Jesus because Jesus is not my Lord. He is not the person that I'm following and building my life on. He's not the model that I'm going to work from. I want to be who I want to be. See, we've been set free from the slavery of sin so that we can be slaves of righteousness. Now, that's such a conflict. You see, the Bible teaches that you are a slave to that which you obey. Romans 6:16-18 says, it says, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now, see, that gets back into that concept of freedom, where once I am free, I am making a choice now. What will I yield myself to? Because whatever I yield myself to is basically becomes my master. And I no longer want to be a slave to sin, because in Romans chapter 6, speaking to believers, not to unbelievers, but to believers, Paul is saying, if you become a slave to sin, it always leads to death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. He is not saying that to the lost. He is saying that to believers who are struggling with what kind of choice they will make, whether they will follow Jesus as Lord and yield themselves to righteousness. Listen, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of righteousness, is in you, drawing you into a righteous and godly life. And that means as it should be healthy, as it should be in prosperity, as it should be in peace, as it should be in joy, as it should be according to the perfect will of God for your life. We want to be slaves of how it should be. We're not going to yield ourselves as servants to disobedience. We're not going to lead ourselves to those things that bring death and destruction. We have been set free from sin, and we have chosen to become slaves of righteousness because that's what we yield to. Listen, the ultimate concept of lordship and slaves to righteousness is found in the concept of being a love slave. A love slave is a slave who is brought into bondage because of a debt that he owed, and he goes to work and he works off his debt for his master. And his master comes to him one day and says, all right, today is the day you can be set free. You have paid off your debt. And at that point in time, he says, no, what I have here with you and your family is better than anything I had in my own personal life. I choose to be a love slave. I choose to be here because I love you. And he would take him down to the gates of the city where all the elders met. They would pierce his ear, and he would pronounce his commitment to that family that he was going to spend the rest of his life there because of his love for his family. That's what God really wants from us. God don't want us to serve him out of fear. God doesn't want us to serve him because we're afraid he's going to hurt us. God doesn't want us to serve him for any negative reasons. God doesn't want us to serve in any capacity if it's not motivated by love. I want to tell you something. A love slave is a person that has found a freedom, submitted to Jesus as Lord. They found a better life than they had in any of their other concepts of freedom. Listen, come back, join me in my mentoring moment in just a few minutes. I want to share some closing thoughts. I know I mentioned this to you very often, but I want to remind you again, be sure, go to my homepage, download your mobile app. Get that thing on your phone, get that thing on your tablet. Make sure every person in your family has it so you can get all of the quotes and encouraging messages, all of my blogs, all of the things that we send out, because we really, really, really want to bless you. We want to strengthen you. We want to help you make this journey. Also, we want to make sure that you get notifications of when I'm going to be in your area. You know, July the 18th and 20th, we got World Changer Weekend here in Huntsville. August the 11th, I'm going to be at Gateway Church in South Lake Texas. September the 11th through the 13th, I'm going to be in Tulsa. September 23rd to the 25th, going to be in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, with Safe Harbor Ministry, and we're looking at maybe Winnipeg, Canada, for October. We got a lot of great things going, and I want you to be there. I want you to know what's going on, and you'll get all of these notifications right to the app on your phone. So be sure to download your app today. This powerful new series on the gospel of the kingdom is going to help you understand the laws of the kingdom, how to function in the kingdom of God, to enjoy the realm of the kingdom and the resources of the kingdom. It's going to be like having the keys of the kingdom. You know, the keys of the kingdom are what opens the door so that you have passageway into every aspect of kingdom living. And in this incredible series, you're going to understand how to open the doors, how to walk through the doors, how to enjoy all the benefits that the Lord Jesus died and rose from the dead to give you. You know, messages like I've been sharing with you can be incredibly liberating or can be incredibly challenging, and it's all based on how you respond to the idea of Jesus being Lord. You know, one of the things that we realize about true freedom, there can never be true freedom when there is absolute independence. See, we don't want to be codependent. We don't want to be independent. We want to be interdependent. We want to be in a relationship with Jesus where we know Him and we're dependent upon Him because He is dependable. We trust Him because we know that He loves us. In other words, it's a healthy dependence where that is born out of a living relationship. But so many people, because of all the negative things that they've heard about God, resist surrendering to Jesus as Lord. So I want to ask you a real question. I'm not challenging whether or not you've got born again, but this is a question you got to make for this series to benefit you, and really for anything I teach to benefit you. And that is, when you came to Jesus, did you surrender to Him as Lord? In other words, I'm going to follow your teachings, not because I'm trying to earn something, but because I trust you. I believe this is the way life works. I'm going to follow the model that you exhibited of how we should live our lives, and which obviously all of that means I'm going to walk in the Word of God, but I'm always going to be motivated by love. But you may not have made that decision, or you may have made that decision and backed off from it because you had disappointments, because some things didn't go right. Maybe you made some decisions that you thought Jesus was leading you into, and they didn't come out good, and you're mad at Him, you're blaming Him. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus has never led you wrong. He's never hurt you. What religion does and what Jesus does are two totally separate things. But maybe it's time for you to go back and re-examine. Am I really in a committed relationship to Jesus as Lord? Does He own my life? Am I going to surrender my life to Him personally? And am I going to follow what He teaches for righteousness, for values, for truth? I'm not going to get myself in legalism, but I'm just going to trust Him and I'm going to follow Him. You know, if you haven't, just bow your head and just say a prayer. Lord Jesus, I do want to know You as Lord. I do want to walk with You in this committed relationship. I do want You to be the one who directs my life.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.